Fear is a word we usually do not think of as an original feeling of Christmas. I've never seen any decorations that could convey that aspect of Christmas. Some people add a little fear to the holiday. In Europe, St. Nicholas often arrives with a scary-looking helper, usually dressed in blue, who leaves coals and switches for those who have been naughty. In America, it's hardly Christmas without Dickens' Three Ghosts and Jimmy Stewart's troubled George Bailey. We often fear that the threat of war and terrorism will take away our Christmas joy. This year, we have experienced terror and fear with the Clackamas Mall shooting and with a massacre in Connecticut. These various fears appear minor, as sadly as that sounds, in comparison to the fear in Palestine at the time of Jesus' birth. First century Israel was occupied by the oppressive Roman Empire, who imposed tight control over the Jewish nation. There were plenty of reasons to fear what Rome could do. Herod was a ruthless, vicious, unstable ruler, and the Roman army was not known for being nice to people. The slaughter of the innocents of Bethlehem that would take place shortly by Herod is just one example of his tyranny. King Herod was going to become fearful that the Christ child would seize his power. Four times in the Christmas story, we are told about fearful people of God. Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. Each of these were comforted by God's angels, as the angels assured them, "Fear not." As I've shared the past two Sundays during time of prayer, the phrase "fear not" appears over 100 times in Scripture. Let's step back in time and observe how each of these four handled their fear.
When Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of the incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John."
Zechariah was a priest getting ready to perform his temple duties when an angel appeared to him. Luke tells us that Zechariah was startled and gripped with fear. People often thought angels appeared primarily to bring death and destruction. Zechariah was assured, "Fear not, God has heard your prayer." And we wonder, What prayer? He had prayed to see the coming of the Messiah. Zechariah was told that he would be father to the forerunner and the prophet John. I wonder how many of us are fearful this season. How many of us are afraid of what the future holds? Or afraid and asking, how can we go on? The famous missionary E. Stanley Jones said, I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. He was an old man. He was married to an old woman. They had both been faithful to God for many years. Faithful all of his adult years, he had served as a priest for God. And then one day, when he was about to offer incense, an angel appeared. Zechariah would have been in awe of the privilege to serve the incense. But when an angel showed up, it added to the excitement. It appears in the scriptures that when a person knew that it was an angel speaking, the person was terrified. I do not mean, oh, it was an angel and I had no idea. What I mean is knowing that the being talking to you was an angel brought fear. The good news brought fear to some. The mighty and powerful King Herod was so scared of the newborn baby that he ordered a mass execution of all the baby boys in Bethlehem. It is no wonder that Simeon the priest said that Jesus would be destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that would be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. It is scary to think that you might be replaced at work by another someone else, or it's scary to be thinking that you may be replaced in a relationship. It's scary to think that you might fall. It's scary to think that all your thoughts will someday be revealed. It was just not that an angel showed up that made Zechariah shiver in his boots. The angel quickly said, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard." It was not just the angel's appearance in the room that made Zechariah tremble. It was the fact that God was at long last revealing himself. During all the years of his faithful service, Zechariah had never seen God, nor, I am assuming, ever heard a voice from heaven. Then he discovered that God was going to answer his prayer. That prayer was probably long forgotten. How often do senior citizens ask for children of their own? Elizabeth had been infertile all of her life, and it's safe to assume that they probably had given up all hope of having children. It is at that point that an angel appeared with an answer to a long-forgotten prayer. It was probably just as scary as seeing the angel himself. Zechariah was afraid because he saw that God was moving. Maybe he was afraid because he thought he was going crazy. God's moving would take Zechariah and Elizabeth into a brand new place in life at a time when they probably did not want great sweeping changes. We get used to things. Changes upset that. The unknown carries fear. Zechariah was upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, we're told in the scripture. But when it came right down to it, he still lacked faith. He needed proof. Zechariah was living what we call quiet desperation. There was a faith, but simmering under that surface were deep, unanswered questions. We believe one thing, but sometimes feel another. We wonder if we are the only ones who do not get it. We come to church because we figure we should. We think that it's the right thing to do, but we leave, and we are exactly the same. And we wonder if anyone really got anything out of the message. We know that we should live by faith, but we so desperately want to see something that are forgotten prayers. I'm sure Zechariah felt that way. But God did answer him. And when God did, it was the way above what Zechariah could have expected. The angel said that they would not just have a baby, but they would have one with special purpose. The baby would grow up to become John the Baptist, the forerunner and the messenger of the one sent by God to bring salvation and liberty and healing to all people. For so long, God was silent. But when he did speak, Zechariah did not believe it, and he became silent. Today, maybe you are afraid. Maybe you are afraid that you've been wrong all these years. Maybe you are afraid that you've been serving God and doing the right thing for nothing. Maybe you are afraid to even admit it and admit your doubts. Maybe you are afraid that all you see is all there is. Maybe you are afraid that God does not care about you, or that he does not love you or even like you. Maybe you are afraid that he has no concerns about answering any of your prayers. Hang on. Keep doing the right things, even when you do not see much visible reward. Keep trusting that God sees and hears you. Keep trusting that God will answer. You know, the name Zechariah actually means God remembers. God's not forgotten any of your unanswered prayers. He knows exactly what you need. Keep looking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep hoping. And keep believing.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "Well, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child at her old age. And she who has said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Mary had a lot of fear. She was told by the angel Gabriel that she was highly favored. But think about it. Here was a young Jewish girl facing the prospect of being an unwed mother. She was facing the possibility of a divorce and public disgrace. And right in the middle of all that, there was a mandatory government census requiring hazardous travel from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. We can count our fears, imagining all the terrible things that might happen. Or we can trust God's caring watchfulness over us. Mary was about to enter unknown territory as the one chosen to bear the Son of God. But she was assured that God would keep her strong throughout. Zechariah, an old man, was terrified. Terrified of the heavenly messenger. But Mary, a young teenage girl, was not terrified. She seemed more questioning of the angel's appearance than fearful of it. The angel shared good news with Mary. He said God had chosen her to be part of his wonderful plans. The angel said that the Lord was with her. Now, this is important. Mary certainly needed to know that the Lord was with her. She needed to know that what was going to happen was part of God's plans. And that's why Gabriel told Mary not to be afraid. Mary's life was about to be turned upside down forever. And that's never an easy thing to handle.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a baby inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son.
Imagine Mary's changes. She was engaged to a good man, Joseph. They were going to be married. Back then, an engagement was practically as binding as a marriage. And to end an engagement was the same thing as getting a divorce. Mary was entering a whole new world by becoming pregnant. That was a change that she seemed to embrace well. But the angel still told her to not be afraid. Mary's plans for her life and for her family were changed forever by the announcement. As if that were not enough, throw in the fact that that was impossible because she was a virgin. She'd never been with a man. There's the shock that she was having a baby out of wedlock, and then add to it the shock of being impossibly pregnant. On top of it all, we must not forget the main point of the story, the shock of being pregnant with the Son of God. That is what this is all about. This is about Jesus coming to earth. Mary's plans were not being changed just for the sake of change. It was not some whim or flight of fancy. Mary's plans were being changed because it was for the greater good for everyone. Even if the changes were not going to be 100% pleasant, they were certainly good. And God's plans are not always safe. They will sometimes lead us into dangerous places. Missionaries go into unsafe places. Many of the early explorers were believers, and they entered unsafe places. Many believers over the years have lost their lives because they were willing to follow their faith in unsafe places, like communist regimes, radical Muslim countries, extreme Hindu nations. If you think that following God's plans will always lead you to green pastures and beside still waters, you are in for a shock. God's plans are not always safe. And when I was with the sheriff's office as senior chaplain and the bullets were flying over my head while I was laying in the bushes, I did not feel safe and sometimes wondered if God's plans were safe for me. But God's plans are good. His plans for Mary's life were good. The Lord was with her. He had found favor with her, with God. She took the angel's words to heart when he said, "Do not be afraid." Don't be afraid of what God wants to do in your life. Don't be afraid of how His plans are changing yours. So what about your plans that God be changing? What's not turning out the way that you wanted it to? What is God leading you to do that you just do not want to do? What is happening that you do not know if you have the courage to handle?
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had it in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to the son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Mary's fiancé, Joseph, also needed reassurance. he feared some public ridicule and criticism. What if the townspeople assumed that they had not waited? How could he explain a virgin birth? An angel appeared to Joseph and said, as Teresa read, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph's entire experience with Mary took courage. Joseph leaves for us a footprint of courage. Just consider, it took courage to resist the plunge towards public vindictiveness. It took courage to listen to the voice of God and not the false wisdom of society. It took courage to remain true to Mary in the face of community pressure and disdain. It took courage to abstain from sex until after the birth of Jesus. From Joseph, we learn practical personal integrity regardless of public pressure. We learn pursue God's vision, not man's wisdom. Joseph knew something bigger was going on than just the birth of a boy. God was being incarnated into man. Joseph's buy-in was something larger and transcendent. The vision God had for his life was critical to his courage until a man or a woman finds God's transcendent cause to live for. They will find it hard to find anything to die for. Courage for the now is never produced apart from a vision for the future. And the third thing we can learn from Joseph is to embrace sacrificial action instead of superficial anger. Verse 24 simply says, "He did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He obeyed." But what makes this so incredible is that his actions were all sacrificial in nature. When the going got tough, Joseph got sacrificial. Move to the center. Joseph's godly character enabled him to rein in his anger. Instead, he responded thoughtfully, biblically, and spiritually in an appropriate manner. Joseph showed his courage by providing for and protecting his family. Courage is seen in how well we handle adversity and change.
"Mary, my betrothed, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, and the sweetest smile.
Don't be afraid.
I'm the Lord's servant.
Help us! Please!
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?"
"His name is Jesus."
"Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you
new?
And this child that you
face of God, of Mary. Did you know?
My son.
Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again.
Come out of him.
The fourth example of having fear is the shepherds who were managing their flocks in the fields just outside of Bethlehem. They feared predators and thieves. They were anxious to keep their flock from disease. They remained with their sheep out in the harsh elements.
And there were shepherds lying out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
It was while they were in those fields that the angels appeared. The shepherds' first thought may have been, "We're being invaded." However, they were reassured that this was a mission of peace to announce the birth of the Prince of Peace. Thank you. We often wonder how God will provide. It's tempting to give in to anxiety. Just contemplating the future, we sometimes fear what God might expect of us. God does not want us to feel insecure. The comforting words of Christmas is, "Fear not, God has provided a Savior." While fear is the original Christmas emotion, there is a word that we can use to replace fear, and that word is honored. On Christmas Eve, a world filled with fear was honored with God's comforting presence. We may not be fortunate enough to receive an angel messenger, but we have something the people of the Bible's time did not have. We have the completed message of Scripture, which shows us over and over again why we should not be afraid of anything. A key message of Christmas is fear not. Fear not because God promises to guide and to remain with us. And God enables us to move from fear to faith.